Now, this week has seen the announcement of this year's Ig Nobel Prizes. These are the awards for science that make you laugh and then make you think, allegedly. This year is no exception, and we're joined by one of this year's winners. It's Dr. Ray Goldstein, who's based here at Cambridge, England, Cambridge University's Department of Applied Maths and Theoretical Physics. He is actually, though, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, because he's been to Harvard to collect his award. Hello, Ray.
Hi, thanks for having me.
A pleasure. So what was the award for? What did you do to win your Ig Nobel?
Well, the award was given to two separate groups. The first, myself, in collaboration with Patrick Warren, a research scientist at Unilever Research, and Robin Ball, a physicist at the University of Warwick, for explaining the shape of a ponytail. And the second half of the prize went to Professor Joe Keller at Stanford University, who explained the swing of a ponytail.
Why? I mean, is this a big problem? It must be if someone like you is working on it.
Well, the genesis of our half of the prize work is really at the Unilever Research Labs in the UK. As you know, Unilever is a global manufacturer of personal care products, including shampoos and conditioners. And for obvious reasons, therefore, they have great interest in the properties of hair. And for a number of years, scientists, including Patrick, at Unilever had been trying to understand difficult problems involving, say, the tangling of hair, and in general, understanding the properties of bundles of hair, as in a ponytail. And they reached out to me several years ago to join their team and to help them solve these kinds of problems. Now, I have to say, when I was first contacted by them, just like with the Ig Nobel Prize, I first laughed hilariously. I actually thought this was a Nigerian email scam or something like that. But I soon began to realize that there was very interesting physics there. And on my first visit to Unilever, a bunch of us were sitting around the table, and they were explaining to me the scientific questions they were after. And we were given what are called hair switches, which are commercial bundles of hair that are used to test shampoo and conditioner. They're about 25 centimeters long. They have about 10,000 hairs, and they're clamped at the top. And so, in fact, if you hold them vertically, it looks like a ponytail. And in trying to figure out how to get into this project of understanding the properties of large numbers of hairs, we realized that actually the shape of the ponytail was the right testing ground. That is, if we couldn't solve that problem and understand something that seems as simple as that, then we couldn't go any further. So we set ourselves the task of trying to explain the shape of a ponytail.
Is it tricky? Because when you're dealing with a ponytail, you have lots of individual hairs, and they all have their own behavior as a material, and they're all interacting with each other, which means that there's not just one type of behavior, the individual hair, it's the behavior and how that behavior influences the behavior of all the other components in the ponytail.
Exactly. So we now understand, and historically much of this was understood as well, that there are at least three main features that matter for this problem. The first two are easy. Hair has elasticity. It resists bending, and so it tends to remain as straight as it is isolated. Hair also has weight, so gravity pulls it down, and that would tend to make a collection of hairs just hang vertically. But most importantly, hair has random curvatures or meanderings, and it's accounting for that. And as you said, this is a problem involving large numbers of individual and distinct interacting objects, and that's where the difficulty lies in the theory. And so we borrowed some tricks from other areas in physics, in particular the study of fluids, and the study of electronic systems, where there's the notion that all of this complicated randomness could somehow be accounted for if one knew just a few average quantities of the hair bundle. That is, instead of keeping track of 10,000 hairs, we'll just keep track of, say, the local orientation of the filaments in a bundle and just the local concentration of them, the number per unit volume. And so we formulated a theory using that idea that the effects of the randomness was some as yet unknown function of these quantities. And after a lot of crank turning, theoretically, we came up with an expression which we call the ponytail shape equation.
But hair comes in lots of different flavors, doesn't it? Or at least you've got people who have Chinese hair, which tends to be quite different in characteristic than people who are, say, blonde and have that very fine, wispy hair, like my son, for example. So does the equation have a component or a parameter that accounts for that ethnicity?
Exactly. It turns out that this pressure, the magnitude of this pressure and the scale of radius of the ponytail at which the pressure disappears, is very crucially dependent on the average squared curvature of the filaments and their stiffness. So it's basically like a spring. If you have a a curly piece of hair and you were to flatten it between two sheets, you'd have to do work to compress it. And so the more curly the hair, the more work you have to do, the greater the pressure pushing out. So in principle, there's a way of sort of cataloging different types of hair by the pressure with which they push out of a bundle.
Does that mean then that now if you take that equation, you can model hair much more accurately? And so computer games designers, people making Hollywood movies where they don't want to pay extras, they can pay a computer instead, can make much more lifelike and realistic renditions of hair, which I understand has always been a major headache prior to now.
It has been a major headache, absolutely. And there are lots of groups that have made wonderful progress on this, including a particularly interesting work in Paris. But the incorporation of this bundle effect is something which we think could be an exciting new twist on this that could actually make things much more realistic. And we hope in the future to be able to think about that as well as about what might be called the hairodynamics problem, that is how hair interacts with airflow, as in when you wave your head or you're in the wind.
So how did this go down in front of the Ig Nobel ceremony? You had one and a half minutes to tell the story, didn't you?
Yes. Well, in fact, since there were two parts to the prize, we each had 30 seconds. So we distilled this down to the essence. In fact, we joked that in 2012, the search for understanding deep properties of the universe was partially successful in the sense that the Higgs boson appears to be found. And, of course, that's supposed to be the explanation for the origin of mass. And we have come up with an explanation for the origin of volume.
Ray Goldstein, thank you very, very much. He is from the Department of Applied Maths and Theoretical Physics at Cambridge University and is celebrating winning an Ig Nobel Prize for that piece of work this year.